Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles this morning to the Gospel of Mark, Mark chapter number 14. We've been in the Gospel of Mark for a little while. Actually, it was in the preaching schedule to be all the way down Mark by next week, so that way we could do the resurrection, but some different things changed and just never worked out that way this past summer when we went and did something a little bit different and kind of put us a little bit off track. But that's okay. I think we're going to just take our time. These are wonderful passages of scriptures. We'll be in Mark this morning, also going to be in Mark tonight. And we're actually going to skip ahead a little bit and then go back. Tonight we're going to look at, obviously, the Last Supper and the institution of the Lord's Supper a little bit. And then this morning we're going to look a little bit about the garden. Mark chapter 14, verse number 26 is where we're going to start. I love this passage of scripture because it's convicting to me. It helps me and puts things in perspective, but also teaches a really powerful truth. Oftentimes, I put the focus on that question that Jesus asked in verse number 37 towards the end. It says, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldest thou not watch 1 hour? And it talks about how Jesus, you're going to see in the story, he is facing the most trying time that any individual has ever faced in all humanity. He's there and he's in the garden and talked about as he was praying, he was pouring out great drops of sweat of blood, things like that. And he's there and he is just going through anything like we've ever done. You consider what we've gone through, maybe the greatest thing you've ever gone through. Jesus went through more. The sins of mankind is going to be placed upon him. Christ, God's, the Father is going to turn his back on him. Just over and over, the beatings, the denials, the betrayals, all those things are happening. And he looks to his disciples and he says, look, I want you to watch. I want you to pray. And then he takes the inner three and he brings them and he says, look, I want you to watch and pray. He even says here, it's interesting. He says in verse number 34, and he saith unto him, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. He's telling these disciples, specifically the inner circle, the three, Peter, James, and John, look, I am exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And he just asks him to do something. He says, I want you to sit here for a while, and I want you to watch with me. I want you, and then, you know what they do? They fall asleep. And I like to beat them up for this. How could you fall asleep? Jesus is going through agony. Jesus is suffering all these things. And couldn't you watch with him for 1 hour? And we put such an emphasis on that. And I've done that before in the past because it is such a powerful truth. And there's so much that we can learn from that. And the idea, of course, we should be, all those things Jesus has done for him. And he says, they couldn't even watch for 1 hour. What's wrong with these people? I mean, but the truth that he teaches here is found here in verse number 38. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter in temptation. This next phrase is key. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Another spot talks about the spirit's willing. And it talks about the battle that's inside each of us if you're a believer. There's a spiritual side and there's a fleshly side. And they war against one another. I don't know about you, if you're a Christian, I'm sure that there had to be a day, if you're a believer day, that there's a day that you were convicted of your sins, you turned to God, you asked God to save you, and then you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's wonderful, that's great. But from that day on, there's a battle that's raging between our flesh and our spirit. And I would assume, if you've been a Christian, that there's times in your life, there's things you plan on doing. Most people don't plan on living a defeated Christian life. When we hear good preaching, when we hear good teaching, when we hear singing, when we read our Bible, it says, hey, I'm going to serve the Lord. Hey, I want to do something great for God. We have intentions and expectations. I'm going to do what's right. I'm never going to make a mistake again. And we know that, but we make commitments and we get excited and we speak bold sometimes. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do this for the Lord. I'm going to accomplish that, do all these things. But then there, something happens. We fall. We fail. Maybe it's just me, but there's been times in my life each morning I wake up. And I'm not a morning person. I know some people are like, oh, morning person, because sometimes I get up early. Not really technically a morning person. I like pushing the snooze button once or twice. This might seem kind of weird, but I actually set the alarm early so I can push the snooze button once or twice just because that makes me feel good. I'm getting a little extra sleep there and pushing the snooze button and then pushing it again and then realize it's time to get up. But when I get up in the morning, the first thought that comes to my heart and my mind is, you know, I want to live for God today. I want to serve him. I don't want to keep on failing. I don't want to keep on messing up. I want to do something for the Lord today. But you know what? Put my feet on the floor, get up, start doing things. I don't do it as much as I could or as much as I should. There's something that's battling against me, and it's our flesh. And that's why he says, look, your spirit is willing. Your spirit is ready. The spirit of God that lives in you says, hey, let's go. Let's live for God. Let's do what's right. Let's learn how to forgive. Let's learn not to be bitter. Let's have the right attitude. Let's be faithful. Let's attack the enemy. And then we get into reality. The flesh starts, oh, we want this. We want that. Oh, I'm kind of tired. Spiritual disciplines it's hard. And when he says watch and pray, prayer takes work. To truly have a quality prayer time with the Lord, you have to carve out some time. It's one of the most amazing things. If you're meeting with the Lord, there is nothing better. You don't want to leave it. But to get to a spot where you can honestly shut down everything else and in your heart and your mind, spend quality time alone with God, that is a hard, it takes work to do. And here in this story, we're going to see where Jesus is going through. We're going to see some of Peter's bold statements. And then Jesus teaches us a powerful lesson here, to watch and pray. Let's go ahead and jump in here in the story. And Mark chapter 14, we're going to go ahead and look at verse number 26. Remember, Jesus knows what these men need. He is not trying to embarrass Peter here. He is trying to teach Peter an important and powerful lesson. He's trying to teach all the disciples this important and powerful lesson. I think it's amazing the Lord knows this. He knows exactly what needs. He knows exactly what needs to be recorded. There is a failure here that Peter has and that all the disciples have, but it's a failure that all of us deal with in the fact that we don't always watch and pray. And he tells us we need to. Look what it says in Mark chapter 14. Look what it says in verse 26. He says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I love that. He just had the Last Supper, instituted the Lord's Supper there. And you know what he does? As he's leaving, he's singing a hymn. He said, what's the big deal about that? He's getting ready to face such a trial and such suffering. He's getting ready to face the scourgings, the beatings, the betrayals, the denials, the hanging on the cross, the being spat upon, the crown of thorns, the hitting, you know, being the crown of thorns, being beat over, all those different things. He's facing all those things, but he's still singing. He has the right attitude, and I think that's a blessing. It says in verse 27, and Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. He looks at this group of 11 disciples. Judas has already left the room. And he looks at them and says, look, all of you are going to be offended. All you are going to stumble. All you guys are going to leave me. We don't like to hear that. But when Jesus is teaching us something in the Word, there's sometimes things that we just rather not hear, rather not think anything of it. But in all reality, it's truth. If they would have learned, if they would have prayed, if they would have watched, this might have happened differently. It says in verse 28, but after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. So he's telling them the sad news, but he also accompanies with good news. Look at Peter's response here in verse 29. But Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. He's bold. He's like, look, everybody else might be offended you, but I'm not going to be offended. And that's why the Lord later on asked him, could he not watch 1 hour? Verse 30, and Jesus saith unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this day, even in this night, before the cock crow twice, thou shalt deny me thrice. He says, not only are this group's going to be stumbling and going to be offended because of me, and they're going to forsake me, but Peter, you're going to take it a step farther. Peter, you're actually going to deny that you even know me. Of course, Peter turns and says, but he spake the more vehemently. If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise, also said they all. He says, Jesus, you got this wrong. I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to follow you, and I'm never going to deny you. He says, I am willing to die for you, but I will not deny you. He's speaking boldly. And once again, I don't think he's lying here. I think this is his intention. I think he truly, his spirit, it's willing. He desires this. He would never consider leaving Jesus. He would never consider being offended by him. He would never, ever consider denying him. But he has a flesh he's battling too. Let's keep on going. In verse 32, It said, actually, at the end of verse 31, I want you to mark this. Likewise also said they all, talking about the other 10. Not only Peter said that, they all said that. Let's keep on going. Verse 32, and they came to a place which was called Gethsemane. And he saith to his disciples, sit ye here while I shall pray. And he taketh with him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy. Now, here's the thing is he goes, he brings the 11, he takes the 8, and he says, look, I want you to sit here for a little while. He takes those three that are closest to him, and he sits there, and he becomes, it says, very sore amazed. And you, if you can use that imagination there a little bit, he even uses these words, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry here, ye here, and watch. If you go and you read through the scriptures, do you see Jesus talking like this very often? No. He is asking him, he is saying, I am going through something that this feels like I'm getting ready to die. He said, this is what I want you to do. He said, I just want you to watch for me. Now, what does that word watch mean? It means be alert, pay attention. And he went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. We're not going to spend a lot of time here, but Jesus was surrendered. It was not something he wanted to have to face, but it was something that was necessary. It was the Father's will. And with this, the redemption of mankind. And when he's saying this, he's saying, whatever you want, Lord, I'm willing to do. It says in verse 37, and he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and saith unto Peter, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? So he comes to this moment in this time, and he's there, and in other spots you see he goes and he prays, he falls on his knees and falls on his face, and I can't even begin to describe all the emotions and everything he's going through in the garden. Hopefully you read those passages this week and let the Holy Spirit do that. But he comes back after, once again, being sore, amazed, heavy, even unto death. And he comes back and he finds those three that are supposed to be his closest falling asleep. Now, did Jesus know that they were going to sleep? Of course he did. He's God. But at the same time, he's trying to teach him something. Doesn't say he wakes all three up. It says he wakes up and says in verse 37, he cometh and findeth them sleeping, and he saith unto Peter. Now, why is he talking to Peter? Well, Peter's the guy earlier that says, I'm not going to be offended by thee. I'm not going to deny thee. I'd die with you before I do all those things. And it's amazing what our spirit says we're willing to do. It's amazing, says, well, I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do this. But there's a flesh that's there too. And even though he is sincere in all these things, and I think many times we are sincere when our spirit is trying to speak to our hearts, yes, I'm going to reach out. Yes, I'm going to be faithful. Yes, this and yes, that. He looks at him and he says, Simon, sleepest thou? Couldst not thou watch 1 hour? Once again, that to me, that's, you can use that, and that can be something that is super, super convicting. Jesus did all this for me, and I'm not willing to do this. Jesus died on the cross for me, and I'm not willing to tell someone. Jesus has done all these things for me, and I can't be faithful to his house. Jesus has done all these things for me, and I can't use my life to serve him. I mean, we can use that as an application that is a very sincere application and that is very fitting and something that we should remember. He's done so much for me. I should want to serve him. I should want to give my life. He's given me everything, and I should be willing to give him everything back. Those are great applications. But the only way that we're ever going to truly be ready to give everything back is what we see here in verse 38. Watch ye and pray, lest ye enter in temptation. The spirit is truly ready, but the flesh is weak. Hey, look, you got to, there's two things you got to do here. You got to be watching, you got to be praying. Oh, I don't need to watch, I don't need to pray. But he's saying this is the key. This is one of those keys that unlock a victorious Christian life. We will learn to watch and pray. It will help us do those things that the Spirit is speaking to our heart. But if we're not willing to watch and we're not going to be praying, you know what's going to happen? We're going to fail. Peter failed miserably. James, John, they failed miserably. The 8 disciples failed miserably. They were all asked to just watch 1 hour. And Jesus had been with them for 3 years. And he goes as far as saying, you know, these words, he's saying that he was sore amazed and to be very heavy. And he says that my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. He doesn't say, I want you to take out the Roman army. I want you to fix this for me. I want you to die for me. I want you to do all these things. He said, no. This is all I want you to do. I want you to learn how to watch. I want you to stay alert. And because if they were staying alert, could you imagine what they have seen? They would have seen Judas probably coming. Jesus saw it. They would have seen Jesus there in his agony, his praying, and you would have heard him praying and would have maybe seen the great sweat, the drops of blood as he's sweating. They would have experienced what he was experiencing, but they were not willing to watch. Because they were not willing to watch, then they were not willing or even able to pray. So there's a connection that's here, because our spirit, if we're truly born again, has a desire to do what's right. We want to live for God. And the more that we feed that spirit, the growth and the expectations of what God can do in my life is such a key. But there's the key that's here. Are we really truly watching, and are we truly praying? It says in verse 39, and again, he went away. And it's amazing here. We'll go back to verse 38. We watch and pray lest you enter in temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. So he leaves again. So you would think he woke up Peter and said, look, couldn't you watch 1 hour? Peter would be wide awake now, wouldn't he? Wouldn't you think that he'd be wide awake? He would be ashamed. I'm sorry, I fell asleep. He slept for an hour. He should be able to stay awake now, right? But what happens? And again, he went away and prayed and spake the same words. And in return, Peter's there watching. No, he found them asleep again. And this reminds me, once again, if we're not going to watch, if we're not going to be spiritually alert when it comes to our flesh, you know what's going to happen? We're not going to pray. And if we're not going to pray, you know what's going to happen? Our flesh is weak, and we're going to fail. And that's what he finds them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Neither wits they what to answer him. And he cometh the third time and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. It is enough, the hour is come. Behold, the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise up, let us go. Lo, he that betrayeth me is at hand. Let's have a word of prayer and ask God's blessing this morning on this reading. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, help us today. Lord, I know this passage is a powerful passage because we see what you experienced for us. Lord, help us to see that. Help us to understand that. Also, Lord, help us to see what Peter is going through, what Peter is dealing with. Help us to see ourselves. Then also, Lord, help us to understand the prescription for the victory. Help us to see the key that will help us to stay alert and to be a praying people. Lord, we're also used to the failures. We're also used to disappointing. We're also used to not doing what exactly we want it to do when it comes spiritually. But Lord, help us to learn to watch and pray. Lord, speak to our hearts today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. First thing I want you to think about, and I know we've alluded to all three of these points, so we're going to move quickly through it. First thing I want you to think about, though, is what the Lord Jesus was experiencing. Go back once again to verse 33, when he says, and taketh him Peter, James, and John, and began to be sore amazed and to be very heavy, and saith unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Now, I'm not going to spend a lot of time giving too much description of what he was going through, but to remind you a little bit of what he dealt with. Once again, he, inside his group of disciples, one of them betrayed him. That hurts when someone betrays you. One was going to deny him. He knew that. He knew that they were all going to forsake him. Not only was he dealing with that, he was dealing with people lying about him. You know, they told lies to try to get him convicted of no crime that he ever did. They spat on him. They whipped him. They took a crown of thorns and placed it upon his head. Talked about there was a reed there and that they used the reed to hit him over the head too. Not only was it that, he went to the cross, and you know what the cross represents, I know to us, it's what he did for us, but the cross was a tool, an instrument of pain. The Roman government was trying to figure out the most vicious way or the most painful way to crucify somebody, to kill someone. They put him on the cross. Besides all that, to be able to do the redemptive work of mankind, to be able to die for the sins of the world, the sins were placed upon him. The Father, who he had complete fellowship with, turned his back. All those different things he's dealing with, he realizes that, and he is praying here, and he's here this night, and we see all the things he's dealing with, all the things he went through, and he's asking the three that are supposed to be the most spiritually mature, he's asking the three that are going to be leaders of the church, he's asking the three, my soul was exceeding sorrowful unto death, tarry ye here and watch. He's not asking for anything unusual. He's not asking for too much. Say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm telling you, in our work, in our love for the Lord, he is not asking too much. What is he asking? He's asking us to watch. He's asking us to pray. He's asking us to be faithful. He's asking us to do things he's called us to do. But Peter here, you know, in the story, talked about how when the mob came or the soldiers came, he pulls out his sword and tries to cut off the guy's head. Instead, he cuts off the ear and Jesus heals the person. And he says, look, that's not the type of work he needs. That's not the type of effort he needs. That's not the energy he needs. That's not the strength that Jesus is looking for. Because I think if Jesus had told Peter, let's go fight, let's attack this whole Roman guard, I think Peter would have been willing to do that. But when he says, look, I want you to take some time and I want you to be spiritually alert and I want you to pray, he failed. And so many times people are saying, well, what can I do for you? What can I do for you? What can I do for you? And what he wants us to do first and foremost, he wants us to learn how to develop a relationship with him. He wants us to learn how to watch. He wants us to learn how to pray. Why is that? Because the Spirit, it's ready. It's willing. The Spirit that lives within you is able to empower you to do everything that God wants you to do. But you know what the flesh is? The flesh is weak. It's super weak. And you're going to fail. He said, no, I can do this. I can handle this. Well, let's look at the second point. We not see only see what Christ was going through and Christ was asking, but look at Peter, what Peter thinks. It says in verse number 29, but Peter said unto him, although all shall be offended, yet will not I. Look what Peter says in verse 31, but he spake the more vehemently, if I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise. Likewise also said they all. So he said, no way that I'm going to be offended by you. There's no way that I'm going to stumble. There's no way that I'm going to deny you. I would die for you. And in his sincerity, he's saying, I'm willing to die for you. I think if people came in this room today and there was terrorists came in the room and said, and this happens in certain places, certain parts of the world, deny Christ or die, I bet you there's a good portion of us that would be willing to die for him. Would not want to deny Christ. Be willing to give their life. But he's not asking us to do that today. You know what he's asking us to do? He wants us to learn how to watch and pray. He wants us to learn to develop a relationship with him. So, Pastor, I'm willing to go all the way to Africa. Okay, if you're willing to go to Africa, are you willing to watch and pray? Peter was willing to step it up and say, I'm willing, you know, everybody else might not be ready, but another spot, he says, I'm willing to go to jail for you. I'm willing to go to prison. And John talks about how he says, I can't follow you. And he's like, I can follow you. I'm willing to go anywhere you're going. He says, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do. But Jesus teaches a really powerful lesson here. This is what you need, Peter. You need to learn to watch and you need to learn how to pray. Because if you don't learn how to watch and pray, you're never going to accomplish what God has intended for you to do. And then and he's there, and I can only imagine he's there, and he doesn't usually speak like this. Obviously, he's not going to say that I'm sitting sorrowful unto death all the time, because it's only the time that it would happen. But you go through and you read those passages of Scripture, not very often does he draw attention to himself. Not very often does he say, hey, I'm hurting here. I'm struggling here. I don't think struggling is probably a bad word, but I'm going through a lot right now. And I want you to just watch and pray with me. All I want you to do is stay spiritually alert. I want you to pay attention. I want your eyes to be wide open. They're tired. And I know sometimes when people pray, you say, we got to close your eyes. And I understand why people close their eyes. They're trying to minimize the distractions, but he's there and he's got his eye. He falls asleep. He's not asking him to take on the Roman army that he's willing to do. He's not asking him to die. He's not saying, I want you to go to prison for me. He says, what I want you to do is I'm dealing with something that no one even understands. I'm exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. And all I want you to do is I want you to watch I want you to pray. I don't want you to go take care of Judas. I don't want you to deal with this. I don't want you to deal with that. All I want you to do, and I think what he's saying to us in our lives today is, if we will learn to watch and pray and do those things that we're supposed to do, you know what's going to happen? We're going to be ready to do the other things. We're going to be, and he learns this lesson, because what happens at the end of his life? He's crucified. Not only is he's crucified upside down. But he had to learn this lesson. And it's a lesson that we must all learn. As we see Christ heading to the cross and we experience and see everything he's gone through, our heart melts, at least it should melt, when we consider that someone betrayed him, someone denied him. His best buds turned their back, they left him. And even though he asked him, could you just do one thing with me? Could you just watch and pray? Is that because he needed the support? I don't think it's that. I think he's trying to teach him a lesson that he wants us all to learn. Yes, our hearts will be broken when we consider all the stripes he had placed on his back. The fact that people had the audacity to spit on him and hit him in the face with their palm and say, well, who hit you now? The fact that they put a robe on him and then they ripped it off to mock him and put crown. All those things are things that should realize he did all this for us. And we turn around and we see, and we're like Peter, and we're thinking, hey, I'm willing to deny. I'm never going to deny you. I'm never going to be offended by you. I'm willing to die for you. I'm willing to do these things. And Jesus says, let me show you how weak you are. Let me show you what you're not willing to do. Yeah, I know everything that you think you're willing to do, but let me ask you to do something simple and show you, this is what's going to make you strong. In our Christian lives, we sing songs and we say, I surrender all, stand up for Jesus. And it talks about, and we should be willing to dedicate and be willing to do all these things for him. And our spirit, it's ready, it's willing. Because we want to, we see what he did for us and it motivates us. It causes us to want to live for him. But he says, hey, there's a key here that's missing. You need to learn to watch and pray. So not only do we see what Jesus was going through and we see what Peter was willing to do, we see Peter's failure. Not only Peter's failure, they all said that. They all forsook him. Now they all fell asleep. They all were failures at this point in time. But Jesus is trying to teach Peter a lesson here that I believe he learned later on. Every single one of the disciples, the original apostles, except for Judas and possibly one other, were martyred for the cause of Christ. There was a time they learned how to be alert. There was a time they learned how to pray. There was a time they turned the world upside down. But at this moment in time, they failed. And Jesus knew they were tired. And Jesus is saying, you're saying you're ready to die for me, but you can't even spend 1 hour watching him pray. There was not a better way he could have described that. A more emotional way to say to them, and he doesn't talk like this. This would have been an unusual conversation for him to say, my soul was exceeding sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. So here's the connection here in verse 38, watch and pray. What's the important principle here? What's the thing that unlocks it? What's he trying to teach him here? I don't think he's trying to embarrass Peter here. I think he's trying to teach Peter a lesson that all mankind needs. So you need to learn to watch and pray. Some people don't think prayer is that important. Some people think that being spiritual alert isn't that important. So here's a couple of things. First, I want you to think about it from a physical aspect. If they had kept their eyes open, they probably would have seen Judas. They would have probably seen the mob. I often wonder in my mind if Peter had actually took the time to watch and pray for that hour, if maybe he wouldn't have denied him. Now, I know what all the prophecies of the Old Testament are saying. And I know all the things, but I think the reason why he failed was because he was not spiritually alert. Because he was not praying, his flesh was weak. And because his flesh is weak, he's falling asleep. They would have seen the Lord praying in agony. I wonder if things would have been different if they would have stayed awake. I wonder if they would have been there and they had watched Jesus. And instead of listening to Jesus say, hey, you're going to deny me. And Peter say, fall on his knees and say, I never want to deny you, Lord. Tell me what I need to do in order not to deny you. I never want to be offended by you, Lord. Tell me what you want me, what I need to do to make sure I'm not offended by you. Tell me what I need to do to make sure I'll never deny you. Tell me what I need to do to make sure I'm spiritually strong because my flesh is weak. They don't say those things, but instead he teaches them an object lesson that all of us can see and say, look at those bums. They fell asleep. How can they fall asleep? It's because they weren't alert. That's why he says, watch ye. There's a deeper principle here. There's a spiritual principle. It's more than just keeping our eyes open physically. It's a spiritual emphasis. The Lord teaches us the same truths over and over. In Mark chapter 13, we were there just a few weeks ago, and he says, take ye heed, watch and pray. In verse 33, for ye know not what the time when the time is. Mark 13, 34, for the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Verse 35 in chapter 13, watch ye there. For verse 37, and what I say unto you, I say unto you all, watch. You say, what are you getting at? This was days before. They should have learned it back then. If he's saying, watch, 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 and the idea is watching for his coming, but are we really, truly spiritually alert? Oftentimes in our lives today, we have become so slumbering, we sleep on the physical things in the flesh. The disciples should have learned this lesson already, and he's teaching them again. And same thing, they were sleeping. Peter fell back asleep. He has to teach him again. It's a twofold image compared to our twofold nature. The idea that we are made up of a spirit and flesh, the spiritual side, the fleshly side. In our spirit, we want to do the right thing. But you know how shocking it is for you to spiritually want to do the right thing, but so quickly turn fleshly? I don't know, that's happened to me. One moment I'm excited about spiritual things, and the next moment it's like, oh, man, I don't want to think about that. Oh, why do I feel that way? Oh, why can't I have discipline? I'm making a commitment. I'm going to make a commitment at a revival. I'm going to make a commitment at a service. I want to live for God. I'm going to do it for the rest of my life. I'm going to tell people about Jesus Christ. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to learn how to give. I'm going to learn how to forgive. I'm going to learn to do all these things. But then spiritually, we miss it. We miss it. Why is that? Because we've never learned to watch and pray. Instead, we play around. Instead, we goof around. Instead, we don't even pay attention to the things that God wants us to do. It becomes a game. That's what Peter, hey, I'm willing to do all. Hey, tell me, I'm here for you. I'll do this. I'll do that. He's like, you can't even do this. Now, when you learn how to do this, then you're going to be able to do more things for me. So here's the principle. In the two words, the word watch is the fleshly word. You should watch your flesh. You should need to pay attention. You need to, the Bible talks about, yes, dying to self. Which means that we need to starve our flesh. We cannot let our flesh control us. We cannot let our flesh make our decisions for us. We cannot let the flesh be the one that dictates. I've heard so many preachers say, I don't know which one ever started it. It's like the flesh and the spirit is like two dogs in a fight. The one that you feed the most and the one that you take care of the most is the one that's going to win the battle. But the one that you sit there and you don't feed and make him weak because you're not giving nutrients, that's the one that's going to lose the battle. And so you come to this idea, are you feeding the flesh more? Are you feeding the spirit more? Are you giving more to the flesh? Or are you giving more to the spirit? And that's what he's saying. Watch is the idea for our flesh. It's something that we need to learn to starve. It's something we need to learn to not let our flesh control us. I think it was Lester Roloff says he jumps in the grave every day. What does that mean? He's dying to himself every day. I think it was Harold Seitler that was talking about that each day he attended his own crucifixion where he crucified himself, and the idea that he did not want to listen. He didn't want to have anything to do with his flesh. He wanted his spirit to do all. And that's what he's saying here. And this is a principle. Yes, we can pull on the heartstrings and see all the things that Jesus is going through, but emotions only do a little bit. It puts us in the right spirit, but it's the watching and the praying. That's where the praying becomes the spiritual side. The praying is the one that feeds the spirit. The praying is the one that causes the spirit to grow. The praying is the one that causes us to get stronger. Praying, praying, praying. But how often do we pray? God connects watch and pray throughout all the scriptures. It's one who is living in an attitude and spirit of prayer is the one that's ready to fight this battle. And I watch this, and yes, my heart is torn up because of what these guys did for Jesus or to Jesus. But I remember how many times I've been the one sleeping. Remember how many times if I apply it to my own heart, my own life, yes, I was ready. I was ready to be on fire. And then something happened and then it causes it to go away. Lord, we need your help. Lord, help us to watch and pray. This morning, if you're here today, you say, Pastor, I don't see what the big deal is, why these guys slept. I don't understand. Do you know Christ as your Savior? Do you know what it is to be a Christian? Do you know what it is to fail as a Christian? How often we fall short of we know what God really wants us to do. This is a perfect picture. Peter's like, I'll do this. You can't even do this, Peter. Learn to watch and pray. Be spiritually alert, physically alert. Don't let things into your heart. Don't let things in your mind. Don't let garbage on the TV or in the music to sit there and enter you. He says, be alert, pay attention, be wise, eyes wide open. And he says, then you learn to pray. The alertness is against the flesh. The spiritual side is the prayer. I don't know about you, but I get tired of failing sometimes when it comes to our Christian lives. And he's reminding us, here's the connection, here's the key. Learn to watch and learn to pray. Don't just keep on letting sin in. Don't just let the world in. Don't let the flesh control you. Make spiritual decisions. Learn to be spiritually alert. Learn to watch. And then learn to build stronger by being someone who prays. If you died today, do you know you would go to heaven? Do you know for sure that if you left this world, that because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross for us, that you'd be on your way to heaven? The Bible says that for God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. This is what we celebrate when it comes to Resurrection Sunday. We're celebrating that he is raising from the dead. He pays our sin debt for us, but we must put our faith and trust in him. No, not everybody goes to heaven. The Bible talks about not everybody is a child of God. It's those who've put their faith and trust, those who've turned to him, those who've been convicted of their sins and asked, received the gift of eternal life. Have you ever done that? If not, I'd love to take a Bible and show you how you can be saved. We have an invitation time. Encourage you to come forward. And as you come forward, we'd love to have somebody take a Bible and take you to another room, and they could sit there and talk about how what the Bible says is a what it means, again, to be born again, to be on your way to heaven. But to the born-again children of God in this room, why do we fail sometimes? It's because we don't learn to watch and pray. Physically, we're not alert. Because of that, we don't pray like we should. We've let too much of this world into our hearts and lives. And we see this. To me, it is emotional, and the idea, I can't not believe that Peter did this. But how often do we see Peter in our lives? I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do this. And then we end up sleeping through it. Let's ask God to teach us how to watch and pray. Let's pray.